Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Nice shot, Stan.
Why, I love thank it. You. Yeah, that's not so easy to aim a torpedo, but when the target's that big, down she goes.
The broadside. I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take a lighthearted look at the serious issues of evolution and creation. And we're kind of doing a little follow-up this week of some stuff we started last week.
A part tour.
A part tour and branching off into some other things. Mm-hmm. We were talking last week about an article that appeared several years back in a National Geographic November 1999 issue, one that's made most of the creationist websites. You'll see pictures, and they kind of say, here's another Piltdown Man kind of deal.
Well, creationists are delighted in the story because it gives us lots of ammunition. Last week we talked about a sensational discovery of a Chinese fossil that appeared to be finally, after all these years of very diligent search, finally a missing link was found.
And it proved out to be
a hoax.
They were snookered.
They were snookered. In the words of one reporter, snookered.
snookered. Ha, 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 got you. Scoreboard, we have your cash. You have our junk.
What happened was a Chinese man who apparently discovered these fossils decided that the feathered fossil that he discovered would look better with a tail on it, and so he took a tail from another fossil and glued it in. And for some that eventually saw the fossil, it was obviously put together. But for the first discoverers, including our friends at National Geographic, they just couldn't believe their good fortune.
They bought that hook, line, and sinker. And the only question is, did they keep their receipt?
I hope they can get their money back.
I don't think so. But anyway, today we wanted to look at the kind of the expose that occurred as a result of that. It wasn't too much longer in early February. The USA Today article, headlines, dealt with the missing link that wasn't, by a gentleman named Tim Friend.
It was front page, and of course, a very sensational thing.
And the article pointed to the whole thing of just how this whole fake and fraud got exposed. And the sad reality was it wasn't just National Geographic that was schnookered on this. Also Nature, another eminent magazine, also co-published articles, and I believe there was another one. Was it Science or not Scientific America? Maybe I think it was Science also as well. Mm-hmm. Also did another article on the same thing as soon as they could. Everyone wanted to get in on it.
Sure, for many, it was purported to be like the find, the most sensational missing link find ever. And obviously, everybody wanted to be on the cutting edge of that discovery and make some news,
more
and
money,
make and sell some more magazines and so on.
I wonder if anyone kept the receipt on their National Geographic subscription.
Well, yeah, and here we are now talking a little bit about how it was uncovered, or how I should say it was reported, and the reactions, well, the ashen faces and so forth.
Yes.
And not to rub it in, although we're good-natured enough to be willing to do that, but also to just kind of illustrate a little bit the human nature that's involved finding out you were wrong.
Yeah, the one thing is, it was what's interesting about this discovery, this is the first one that made pretty big news outside those magazines, because, Stan, when you have the National Geographic publishing in fairly big print missing link kind of stuff, and they even had a press release, and we touched on it briefly, but want to develop it. In August of 99, this is like 3 months before when it's going to press,
right,
they hint they got a big one.
They got a big
and
one.
And they got
Stay
the story
tuned.
Written as fast as they could,
right,
and they started, but they locked up the evidence. They would not open up their fossil for scientific review and, you know, to overview, to oversight, to double check, to, you know, give it a second opinion kind of look.
Well, we've often talked about how that's a good evidence right there for a good healthy amount of skepticism. If it's something is not open to review and to be looked at, and frankly, from creationist standpoint, whether it's a Ron Wyatt or others who tend to have kind of outstanding or sensational views on things and then don't really provide evidence to really see if what they purport to have found is so, then we have to be skeptical.
That's right. But anyway, they didn't open up the review. Finally, they were exposed.
They had to have it looked at.
And when everyone started to see it, there started to be some rumbling saying, it's kind of skeptical. Better archaeologists looked at it. Better paleontologists or whatever looked at it. And they began to say, it's a fake.
One of the things that we've talked about not too long ago on Sink the Beagle is the fact that of all the science disciplines, it's a remarkable thing, I think, that that evolutionists have been able to perpetuate bad information and bad theory and bad illustrations of bad theory in textbooks and keep it in the public arena of thought as though there was some truth to it way after those models and those illustrations have been debunked.
Mm-hmm.
And that they've been able to do that is amazing to me.
Hmm.
But, of course, the hoax continue. Well, it's kind of, thanks to some quick reporting, it's sort of, they let the air out of this pretty quickly. But it hasn't dispersed the general view that we still are looking for that missing link because we know it's there because we know birds came from dinosaurs.
And you'd hope that, you know, they use the 36-point font to announce their their discovery. You know, the big headline fonts. And do they use the big headline font to announce their retraction?
More like a 2-point font, maybe.
A 2-point
tiny
font.
Little couple lines. We was wrong or
sorry.
Something. Yeah, oops. Never mind.
Never mind. That's about the retraction. The other reason, in this whole story, when Nature published a paper on it, too, eventually, what happened is this old farmer, they started even bringing in the farmer in on it, he personally said made up the specimen by adding a tail from his yard collection. I mean, here's got a farmer who must be living on a fossilized site. I'd love to be that farmer. But
and he said something like, that. Well, all the other fossils we find around here tend to have tails. So,
yeah,
he assumed,
so he figured, oh,
maybe put a tail on his thing.
The reason he added the tail to the specimen, he thought, was all dinosaurs and lizards and other reptiles in that area had long tails. And he didn't know that he was looking at a bird, probably. And so he added it, and it became... a forgery, and he sent it on to Nature. It's like, oh, man. They were eating this for a long time.
Plus, the fact that it was illegally smuggled out of China doesn't help things.
I suspect they didn't get their money back on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a sad reality, though, and that's one of the things that we would like to create. You know, it's hard to regain ground that once you've lost it, but the sad reality is they don't ever concede ground. I mean, even when they have forgeries, you know, how long did it take them to remove Piltdown Man?
Right.
You know, every museum almost had a Piltdown exhibit of, you know, manufactured mannequins that supposedly had this ape man when evolution first was purported.
Literally 50 years.
50
I mean, it
years.
Took that long before they really started to see those displays go back in the back room.
Yeah, for 50 years, even though they knew it was a forgery, for 50 years it just laid on the table like it was still true.
And those that weren't purposeful, although you'd have to think the peppered moth had a certain amount of purpose behind it, the false idea that evolution was playing out in England with the dark versus light peppered moths. The peppered moths were surviving, the light ones weren't, and they assumed that was evolution, adapting to the changed environment with the darker, sootier trees. And they found out now that that was all wrong, that they glued the moths to trees. The moths never landed on trees. Moths aren't generally eaten by birds. All of the various basic things that they assumed was evolution taking in place has been disproven. And yet you still see the peppered moth scenario. In fact, we just did a creation evolution seminar in a church where a lady told us who worked in the public school arena, they're still using peppered moth as an illustration of evolution.
And right there in the library, in our local area, public library, they're teaching peppered moth evolution when all scholars, since about, 1980, 83, somewhere in there, it was exposed as being basically bad science. It was because the experts in moth said, hey, you know what? These moths don't land on trees. He's in his 30 years of studying moths, especially these moths in England, he'd never seen one or maybe one.
I think he'd seen two in 30 years.
30 years.
30
two.
Years of looking for them. He only saw
And they two. Had all these wonderful pictures.
And
you
the
know.
Picture had more than two on the picture.
And he's seen two in his entire career. And so we wonder, how long does it take to retract? How long do things hang around? And the sad reality is, the longer you allow a lie to exist and be perpetrated
or even the sillier the lie, you know, it just seems like it sticks,
it sticks,
hangs around.
It just sticks and sticks and sticks. And that's the sad reality. And And many people like to still purport it as truth, hang on to it as truth, teach it as truth, and believe it as truth. And they still, you still find them in some of the textbooks today, sadly.
The reason that the dinosaur to bird theory is still going on full speed is because this is the area where many evolutionists feel that they get the biggest bang for their research buck in trying to find a missing link, trying to support evolution. They feel the evidence is probably a little closer to the surface there. And what they're finding in fact in China are a whole bunch more new kinds of birds, but they don't really reflect in the fossil record the right kind of changes for evolution from a dinosaur to a bird in the right locations in the fossil record.
Now, what are you saying, Stan?
Well, what I'm saying is you want to get deeper down. You want to get more reptile and less bird.
Ah, so what you're saying is that instead of finding birds way up high where they should be,
they're finding more birds and more and deeper, closer, you know, closer to supposedly a common ancestor, and they're still birds.
They're still living along
with. They're still clearly birds.
And they're living with the people that they supposedly evolved from.
Exactly.
Ooh.
So when you live in the same neighborhood, it's hard, at the same time, it's hard to descend from somebody that lives next door.
It's hard to say grandpa and grandson were born the same year, huh?
Exactly. Oh, that's very well done, John. That's brilliant.
Grandpa and grandson born the same year. Well, grandpa, I thought you was older than me.
Well, I thought so too.
And this part of Turkey. Anyway.
So that's part of the scenario pushing this, and they're really assuming that if they keep finding enough fossils, they'll fill out the fossil links.
You know, I believe in more money for education. Actually, I don't believe in more money for education. I believe money should be spent by our government publicly for better spent in education by taking the buying better textbooks.
Yeah.
Instead of funding bogus research, why don't we go and rewrite a few textbooks with at least accurate science in it?
At least
accurate information.
At least
I could support an education bill that would do that.
Yeah.
Why should I support educational mumbo jumbo supporting university studies on higher education that deal with tracing around for trash fossils?
Your tax dollars at work, huh?
My tax dollars hard at work. So that's almost this kind of stuff. And the National Geographic, I know, is not funded by the national government, but that kind of stuff is just as bad, if not worse, than the Army buying a $600 hammer. You know, I'm just saying they go to the wrong store.
Well,
you know?
Well, the fact of the matter is the science culture in America, the elite science culture, the ones at the top, the Harvard, Stephen Jay Goulds, and so forth,
they
are
pushing.
They live
on grant dollars.
They live on grant dollars, and the government, for whatever reason, has their ear, and they back and forth, and that's why NASA is spending billions of dollars to try to discover life on Mars, because it's an evolutionist
agenda. Why don't they teach my kid the difference?
Agenda, you know, item.
Give them a good science education so my kids can tell, get a good baloney detector going anyway.
Or even go, if you're going to go to Mars, why not try to discover things that will benefit mankind, chemical, or rocks or minerals or something that would help the benefit of mankind, instead of try to prove that life existed there. It's an evolution-driven agenda.
And there is no benefit of saying there is or isn't life there to our world today.
Mm-hmm.
They've been claiming evolution's the case, but they haven't been able to prove it yet. And so they're just dying so desperately to prove it, and it still never solves anything. In fact, it leaves you more empty and hollow than before, but the Bible kind of talks about those things in a torpedo text we have there in Proverbs
15:12.
What does it say, Stan?
It says, "A scoffer does not love one who reproves him. He will not go to the wise."
Interesting. You know, he doesn't. They don't want to learn from their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to, when they're told they're wrong.
Yeah.
They just turn their head and keep going in the same stupid direction. You know, what benefit is it? Really benefit?
Ultimately, an evolution still says, "Well, we know evolution happened because here we are."
Mm-hmm. That's the way it teaches it. And we don't say "here we are." We say "here he is," and that is a God
right.
who has made us with purpose, who designed us, who tries to correct us when we're wrong.
And if we are humble and teachable, God can do great things with us.
Tune in again for another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. If you have comments, questions, or requests for Dr. John or Dr. Stan, you can email them at hudahoe@mindspring.com. That's hudahoe, H-U-D-A-H-O, @mindspring.com. Be sure to listen in next time to Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.